Now, Jason, can you help us with this question, which is coming from Jackie? Jackie says, is there still a debate as to what killed off the dinosaurs? So where are we with this? Because you hear lots of stories. So do we now have a definitive idea as to why the dinosaurs met their end?
So there are two answers to that question. The first is, of course, that dinosaurs are doing fine today. There's about 18,000 species of living birds. But the second half of that question is about what happens to dinosaurs that aren't birds. And the last of the non-bird dinosaurs go extinct around the end of the Cretaceous, about 66.5 million years ago. And that coincides with very strong geologic evidence for an extraterrestrial impact of an asteroid or another form of bolide. It appears to be a fundamental global environmental change that corresponds with a mass extinction event in both terrestrial and marine environments. So for the non-birds, it appears that the very last of them went extinct, possibly as a result of this impact.
Were there not some enormous volcanoes going off at around the same time that were also had the potential to make similar changes to the Earth's climate and the Earth's atmosphere?
Yeah, so the last million or 2 years of the Cretaceous, of the Mesozoic, there's what is called flood basalts in India, the Deccan Traps, which are a kilometer and a half thick sequence of volcanic rock formed from these massive volcanoes. And they absolutely are changing Earth's atmospheric chemistry during this period of time. They're a big and an important component of a changing environment.
Kate?
If the crater theory is what happened, and this big catastrophic event is what knocked out all the giant dinosaurs, do you think that it was required for that sort of geological, historical event to happen in order for mammals to have become so successful and ergo humans to have become what we are today?
Yeah, we think a lot about that, whether or not the rise of mammals in the Cenozoic is the result of ecological release or the loss of competitive exclusion. And there's some pretty good evidence that that might be the case. Certainly patterns of body size evolution in mammals show that they get bigger when the dinosaurs are gone. We diversify as a clade within a couple million years of dinosaurs having gone extinct. So, you know, I think it's tricky to pin that down 100%, but the evidence looks pretty good for it.
I've got a question here from Georgia. I'll read this exactly as it's written because it does have some rather nice language, which I can't do better than. Georgia says, when you have something underwater, it gets really degraded and manky much quicker than it does on land. Do sea creatures experience this, Kate? And do they need special adaptations to stop them rusting? So why don't fish go rusty, basically?
Well, fish are not made of iron, so they don't rust as a metal would corrode. However, most creatures have some sort of mechanism for turning over the external surface of their body in order to cope with the harsh environment in which you live in, including humans. I mean, we're shedding skin cells that turn into dust that we have to dust from our homes.
It's 40,000 skin cells a second.
Yeah,
apparently
tons. We have a mechanism.
Fish do the same thing.
Yeah, so fish will shed scales. Crustaceans and arthropods, actually, they go through more dramatic changes where they'll go through what's called a molt, where they literally grow a new exoskeleton and just pop out of the old one. So soft shell crab is when you're harvesting crabs that are at that in-between phase where they've just popped out of their old exoskeleton and they haven't hardened up into their new one. So they basically will grow a new one and it'll be a soft, leathery surface that they're very vulnerable until it has a chance to deposit the hard materials that make it that hard crab surface.
But that's literally just replacing your surface. But what about suppressing things like microbes? Because they grow really well in wet, damp, gooey places. So these animals are continuously in contact with a damp environment that's bringing things in that could infect them. So do they have other adaptations to fend that off?
Yeah, so a lot of aquatic creatures will have a mucus layer over the surface of their body. Mantis shrimp actually are super slimy. Actually, every time I'm trying to, sometimes in my experiments, I need to glue something to them and it doesn't work very well because it just comes off. They're just so covered in this layer of slime that presumably has mechanisms of defense against microbes and infection, much like we have mechanisms of defense against that.
And unfortunately, we have no mechanism to defend us against the ravages of time, because we have run out of time. And so it remains for me to say a very big thank you to our guests this week, who were Kate Feller, who you heard there, Matt Bothwell, Diana Alexander, and Jason Head. The show was put together by George Mills and Katie Haler. And do join us next time when we're going to be talking about the science of allergies. That will be a show, I assure you, not to be sneezed at. The Naked Scientist comes to you from Cambridge University, and it's supported by the STFC, the EPSRC, and Rolls-Royce. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, goodbye.